Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday morning worship service. To all of those watching online, you are most welcome, and we trust and pray that you will enjoy the service and that your heart will be strangely warm, knowing that Christ is with us. And so as we meet together on this wonderful Sunday morning, we light the candle as a symbol of God's presence in our midst, knowing that when two or more are gathered, there amongst them Jesus will be. Our opening hymn for the Sunday morning is one of my favorites. And so where you are in the comfort of your home, join us as we sing together, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Let us bow our heads, let us invoke the Holy Spirit as we meet together. Gracious Lord, we thank you that we can meet together on this Sunday morning, in our respective places of homes and in this worship place, knowing that you are with us wherever we are. And so Lord, as we now lift up our hands and hearts and voices to praise and worship you, we pray that you will fill our hearts and that you would make us aware that you are with us. You are with us in all that we go through in life, in our pains, in our discomforts, in our joys, and in our sadness. And so come, Holy Spirit, come. Fall afresh on us and be with us as we worship you today. Beloved, we have two passages of scripture to read this morning. The one is taken from the Old Testament, from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19 from verses 15 and 18. And the second one is taken from the New Testament, the first gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And so if you have your Bibles before you or around you, I pray that you would open it up with me to our first reading, Leviticus 19, and I'll be reading to us from verses 15 to 18 from the NIV translation. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 15. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander amongst your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so that you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge others, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be used against you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see more clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The title for this morning's message is Judge Not, Lest You Be Judged. Judge Not, Lest You Be Judged. And I want to begin this morning by reading you a true story that I feel many of you will be able to relate to as you sit in your homes and listen to this message. There was once a lady named Maureen who went to church each and every Sunday. Every Sunday, whether it was snowing, raining, or the sun was shining, she would go to church to pray and listen to the message. But her presence was often met with whispers, raised eyebrows, and judgmental stares. While she sat in the pews, many would whisper about how worn out her clothes were, about how she stumbled over her own words, and about how she couldn't even walk properly. To many, Maureen seemed out of place in the polished pews and fancy church. However, beneath the surface, there was a side to Maureen that no one knew. No one knew that her father, blinded by his own pride, constantly belittled her, leaving invisible scars on her already fragile heart. No one knew that her mother added to her pain with harsh criticisms, making her feel isolated and alone. And no one knew that she had no friends to talk to or to confide in, making her feel like a complete outcast in her own church and community. As the days turned into weeks, her visit to the church became increasingly more and more difficult. While she sought refuge in the familiar worship and comforting words of the sermon, judgmental stares and whispered criticisms made her feel even more isolated and alone than ever before. The one place Maureen hoped she would be loved and accepted for who she was and what she's done became a battleground for her own emotions. 2 months later, Maureen was sadly found dead, with a letter under her pillow that read, "Dear God." Today, the minister spoke about the importance of not judging others, a lesson I really believe in. Yet as I sat in the church, I could not help but feel the weight of judgment upon me. The whispers, the stares, the subtle comments, they have not gone unnoticed. While I may not dress in the finest clothes or speak as well as others do, Lord, my faith is real and my heart is pure. I came to church seeking refuge, hoping to find a place to belong in, a community to be part of. But the judgment I feel often overshadows the peace I yearn for. However, I hold no resentment in my heart. Instead, I truly pray for each and every member of our congregation. I pray that their hearts may be open and that they would see beyond mere appearances and embrace the true essence of our Christian faith, love, acceptance, and unity in Jesus Christ. Yours truly, your daughter Maureen. Nothing hurts as much in life as being unnecessarily judged and criticized by other people. It really hurts when people say mean and hurtful things about you behind your back. It really hurts when people judge you without first taking the time to get to know you. And it really hurts when it comes from the one place you never expected it to come, from within the church of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we walk through our two passages of scripture, I want to give us two reasons why we as a church, why we as a community should be so very careful of how we judge other people. And the first reason we should be careful is because we are often guilty of the same sins ourselves. We are often guilty of the same sins ourselves. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 4, Jesus says, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye,' while there is a log in your own eye?" And what Jesus is essentially saying to us is, before we go around judging and criticizing other people, we should first take a good look at ourselves in the mirror. Before we go around judging and criticizing what other people say, do, or by their outward appearance, we as Christians should first take a good look at ourselves. I truly believe that as Christians, we should be so careful of judging what other people say when we know that our own thoughts are impure. We should be so careful of judging what other people do when we know that we have committed the same or even worse sins ourselves. And we should be so careful of judging what we see on the outside, the mere appearance of people, when we know that our own hearts are not in the right place with God. And that is why Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 7, first take the log, the speck out of your own eye, before you go around wanting to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. In other words, before you judge and criticize people, first take a good look at yourself and ask yourself, where have I fallen short of the glory of God? I once heard a story about an elderly gentleman who went to church each and every Sunday, but all he would do is moan and groan. He would complain about the children who were too loud during the service. He would complain that the church's new worship is too modern and that it lacks contemporary hymns. He would complain that the service carries on for too long, From the moment he walked into the church to the moment that he left, all he did was moan and groan and groan and groan. And so one day before the service, the minister pulled him aside and said to him, "Today I want you to focus on Jesus and only Jesus. Instead of moaning about the children who are too loud, just focus on Jesus. Instead of moaning and groaning about the worship that is too contemporary, just focus on Jesus. All I want you to do today is to put your attention on Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus." After the service, the minister called him aside once again, and he asked him if he noticed that there were more children in church than usual, and that they were making more noise than they usually do. So the old man said he didn't. He didn't notice it at all. The minister asked him if he noticed that the service went on for 15 minutes longer than usual. And again, the old man said that he didn't. He didn't notice anything at all. And so the minister said to him, "The reason that you didn't notice it is because you were focusing on Jesus and not on what was going on around you. You were focusing on the cross of Christ and not on the children that were too loud or the worship that didn't meet your standard." Beloved, today I want to say to you that whenever we come to church on a Sunday morning, we come to put our focus on Jesus and not to judge and criticize one another. If you came to church today or you have signed in to watch this service to find fault, I promise you that you will find it. If you came to church today or have logged in to watch the service to judge or to criticize other people, I promise you, you will find people to judge and to criticize. But if you came here to worship Jesus Christ and to meet with the living God and to have your heart strangely warmed, I promise that you will meet with him. Because whatever we came searching for, that we will find. And so why have you tuned in today? Why have you gathered before this recording today? Is it to find fault? Is it to criticize? Or is it to meet with Jesus Christ? And so not only are we often guilty of the same sins ourselves, but secondly, in the same way that we judge others, we too will be judged. There is a wonderful story in John chapter 8 about a woman who is caught in adultery and brought before Jesus. We do not know how or why this woman was caught in adultery, whether the religious leaders were waiting for her, whether they set a trap for her, we do not know. But this woman is brought before Jesus and the religious leaders say to him, "Master, the law of Moses commands that if a woman be caught in adultery, she must be stoned. What do you say we ought to do?" Now, Jesus was caught in a catch-22 situation. If he didn't stone her, he would be breaking the law of Moses. But if he let her go, what would that mean? And so Jesus does the one thing that no one expects him to do. He bends down and he starts to write in the sand. No one knows what he wrote. But I would like to believe that he wrote the sins of the religious leaders standing before him. He wrote down my sin if I were there. He wrote down your sins if you were there. The things that we'd like, that we wouldn't like anyone to know about us. And you know, we all have those thoughts that we would not like anyone to know that we think. We have all said things that we wouldn't like other people to hear. And we've all done things that we wouldn't want other people to know about. And so he stoops down and he starts to write in the ground. Jesus stands up and he says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And so this morning, if you are without sin, I invite you to cast the first stone. I invite you to be the first one to judge, the first one to criticize, the first one to find fault. But remember, in the same way that we judge others, we too will be judged. And then Jesus does something beautiful. He looks down at this woman who is naked and ashamed. And he says to her, "My daughter, where are all of those who have come to judge you?" And she says, "They have left." And Jesus says, "I too do not judge you. Go and sin no more." Beloved, before we go around judging and criticizing other people, let us first take the log out of our own eye before we take the speck of sawdust out of the eye of someone else. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God cause his face to shine upon you and his countenance be lifted to you. And may you always know that you are made by love, in love, and for love. God bless you. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Let us come to God in prayer. Gracious and merciful Lord, as we have now listened to your word, we pray that this word will not simply remain in our heads, but will move down into our hearts. May it cause each and every one of us to take a good look at ourselves within the mirror, and to first remove the log in our own eye before trying to remove the speck of sawdust from the eye of another. And so, Lord, thank you that you have met with us. Thank you that you have spoken to us. Thank you that you have guided us and continue to guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so where you are, I invite you now to join in our closing hymn, and what a fitting hymn to finish our service with. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. I invite you to join me as we say together our benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. May God bless you until we meet again. Bye-bye.